Okay, hey, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for joining our session. My name is Paul Gavin, and I work for Hewlett-Packard, and I work for Hewlett-Packard, and despite my accent, I work for Hewlett-Packard in Cupertino in California, and I'm responsible for virtualization and management solutions with Microsoft, and I've been working on virtualization and management with Microsoft since Virtual Server, 2005, 2008, and then Hyper-V. So we've come a long way with Microsoft in terms of driving both the virtualization effort and the private cloud effort. So I'm going to be co-presenting today here with Joe Sullivan. Joe, if you could just stand up and...
Sure. Yeah, so I'm a technical solutions engineer on our SQL appliance engineering organization. So we've been... working in the Microsoft space for well over 15, 20 years in the solutions space. I've been with this team for about 11 or 12 years. We do various things in the Microsoft portfolio from an application perspective, Exchange, SQL, obviously very involved in the virtualization space and other link in those sort of things. So we develop solutions, white papers, sizing guides, and reference architectures. And what we're going to talk about today is some of our portfolio around our virtual system solutions and our app system solutions for building out a Microsoft private cloud. So Paul's going to go first. We'll take a question-answer sort of period in the middle, and then I'll hop on and dovetail with what he has to talk about, and then we'll take questions at the end. We can't do it during because it's a little dark and we can't really see the audience that well, so they're going to bring the lights up between us. So just hold them until we have a little break.
Okay, thanks, Joe. So you know, as Joe said, Joe's been working on the SQL side of things. But as we work with Microsoft, there's been a real convergence between the SQL and the general purpose virtualization. So what we're going to talk about today really are two different cloud solutions that satisfy two different market requirements. You know, the virtualization solution, which is a general purpose virtualization solution that is targeted at Microsoft Private Cloud. And then Joe will talk about a solution that's targeted at SQL Server virtualization. But they're both united now and combined with the Microsoft Private Cloud strategy. And that's where the convergence is coming. So what we're going to do is focus on this from a Microsoft Private Cloud perspective. That's why we've entitled it Building a Private Cloud with Microsoft. So what we're going to do is I'm going to talk briefly at a high level about some of the market trends and talk about why we're doing this. And talk about an HP and Microsoft definition of a private cloud. Then what we'll do is we'll drill down into what we're calling our hero product, which is HP Virtual System for Microsoft. And we announced this last year, and we've been pretty successful with this in the market. And we'll give you an overview of our Virtual System 1, Virtual System 2, and Virtual System 3 solutions. Then we'll talk about some of the use cases that we have, and specifically for Microsoft Management Summit, and actually TechEd in North America, we provided all of the hands-on lab capabilities using our Virtual System 3. So we'll talk about how we configured that. Then what we'll do is we'll drill down into some demonstrations. And what we're going to show you, unfortunately, these are canned demonstrations. And they're canned for two reasons. One is that we can never be sure of network connectivity. And I know that we've had network connectivity issues here. And the second is that the demonstrations we're doing would normally take somewhere between 40 to 45 minutes, and we have about 15 minutes or so to do these demonstrations. So apologies that they're canned, but I think that you'll get the message. And then Joe will take over. We'll have a brief break, and then Joe will take over and talk about the database consolidation use case and how that applies with a Microsoft Private Cloud. So let's start talking about the market drivers. So we're not doing this for no reason. We're doing this because we see, along with Microsoft, that the market is going towards the private cloud. If you look at what's happening here, is that everyone's saying, the private cloud is really important. And if you talk, and I talk to many CIOs, and many CIOs are saying, well, I'm not really sure exactly what a private cloud is, but I feel strongly that if I don't understand it, and I'm able to talk to my board and talk to my end users and tell them that I'm either going to or not going to implement a private cloud, then I'm doing something wrong. So you can see here that virtualization started, and by next year, then we'll have 69% of virtualization will be applications and servers will be virtualized. The revenue expectations, like $79 billion, that's a lot of money for server and software vendors. And the last thing I'll pick out on this market driver slide is this bottom one, which says that the IDC predict that 2012 will be VMware's last year as king of the hill. So I've been fortunate enough to attend TechEd in Orlando and then HP Discover, and we talked a lot to customers. And as you sat through the keynotes this morning and you saw Microsoft's vision for Windows 2012 and System Center 2012, you can see that Microsoft are really catching up with VMware in terms of the core functionality of virtualization. And not only that, Microsoft have a really strong private and public cloud strategy. So we've been working closely with them on virtualization, and we want to make sure that we're on the bleeding edge with Microsoft so we can provide you with the infrastructure that you need to implement a private cloud. So the focus of this presentation is going to be, how do we provide that infrastructure? You've seen the demonstrations of creating a fabric. We want to tell you what we are doing with Microsoft will make creating that fabric easier with much more knowledge of the physical infrastructure underneath that. Microsoft understands a certain level, but we understand much better our physical infrastructure, and we're going to show you how we enhance Microsoft's knowledge of that physical infrastructure by providing these integrations. So that's the market drivers. And what's happening is, we mentioned CIOs are looking now at private cloud. It's all about hybrid IT. You know, everyone is using traditional IT. People are looking to go to this hybrid cloud model. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm using SkyDrive. I'm using other external public cloud resources. And from an IT perspective inside HP, it's good, but it's not great. HP, our CIO, wants to control all the information. And so there's a reliance on me not to put any kind of confidential information out in the public cloud. And so all of you as IT practitioners understand that, and you understand that if you cannot provide private cloud IT services, perhaps not as cheaply, but at least as efficiently as public services, and understand those security issues, you need to be really careful. So you need to really understand this. So again, Microsoft's goal and our goal is to provide you with tools that will make it easier for you to understand how you can implement this thing quickly and effectively, and how you can combine a private cloud with a public cloud. So we've talked a lot about cloud, and I'm sure that if I asked people in this room what's the definition of a private cloud, I've had people say to me, a private cloud is, I'm virtualized now, so it's really a cloud, isn't it? So what I want to do is to level set here is to talk about what's our joint definition of a private cloud. And then we can do an acidity test and see whether what we implement matches that vision of a private cloud. So let's drill down into the key areas of a private cloud. Well, it has to be pooled. So basically, we want to be able to maximize our resources so at the end of the month, we can scale up. We can scale up financing for placing orders, and then at the beginning of the quarter, we're trying to get revenue in, so we can scale things up and down, and we don't have to buy more hardware to do that. So we're going to be reducing CapEx, and we want to improve utilization. You know, to me, the acid test of utilization would be an IBM mainframe, and that's 85% utilization for those of you who are familiar with that environment. We want to get to the same levels in a Windows Server environment, and many of our customers are doing that with much higher levels of pooled resources. It has to be elastic. It has to be able to scale up and scale down. And if you can't do that, you really don't have a private cloud. So with virtualization, yeah, you can scale up and scale down, but you need a policy-based mechanism to control that scaling up and scaling down. And one of the key attributes of a private cloud is that policy mechanism that allows those resources to be shared amongst departments so that you can scale up and scale down without buying more hardware. High availability is tremendously important. And when we build the infrastructure for private cloud, you'll see that the HP solutions lend themselves to high availability so that Microsoft can take advantage of our solutions to create a highly available environment, and with built-in disaster recovery. I think self-service is a key attribute. Because if you don't have a self-service portal and you can't advertise services to your end users, I don't think you really have a private cloud. And self-service portal is new technology. It's new technology to Microsoft with Microsoft Service Manager. And it does require a lot of pre-planning and process changes. And you have to go and sell to your line of businesses that if they're using a self-service portal, they're going to get the information they need. They're going to be able to get access to these resources quickly. And last but not least, it has to be usage-based. Again, if you're going to say to your IT department, I have a whole bunch of rack or blade servers, you have to be able to charge for that. You don't want an IT department, you don't want a line of business paying you money, and you can't tell that line of business what resources they've used. So when you combine all of these four things together, you can say, yeah, we have a private cloud, and I think that that has to be part of your planning for implementing a private cloud. Now, HP has been working with our customers on a converged infrastructure story. For those of you who are HP customers, you'll know that on the left-hand side here, we've been selling servers, storage, and networking and software for years. And thankfully, many of you have been buying that from us, and we've been really successful. And you've had your own internal resources to design and build these architectures. We've been helping with our converged infrastructure by providing reference architectures, implementation guides, and resources to help you build that into a converged infrastructure. But today, what's happening, and for the last year or more, customers have been saying to us, you know that we need your help in building this into a more a better environment. So what we've done is we've been working with our customers on app systems, and Joe will talk about our app systems. Basically, they're an extension of our converged infrastructure, and there's appliance models that make it easier to implement. And then we have our cloud system. HP has a huge investment in heterogeneous cloud, and if you listen to Meg Whitman, she'll talk about private cloud, and she'll talk about what we're doing. And Microsoft Hyper-V and System Center are absolutely key components of that Microsoft private cloud. And last but not least, which will be the focus of this presentation, is our HP virtual system. Our HP virtual system is the key solution that we believe will help you implement a Microsoft private cloud using Microsoft technologies faster than any other vendor. And we have several proof points that we'll talk about as we go through the presentation. So we talked about converged infrastructure, and here's our strategy for helping you. At the top, we have our reference architecture. Now, reference architecture we've had for a long time, which is prescriptive guidance. And if you go to Active Answers on HP, you'll find lots of information on reference architectures. The next stage after that would be reference configurations. And again, we have lots of reference configuration for SharePoint, for SQL, for virtualization that help our customers implement these reference configurations. And our latest strategy has been our appliances, where the hardware and the software are optimized for your environment. We'll talk about database consolidation, and we'll talk about virtual system. And you'll see the differences in the architecture and why they're built and the way that they're built. And key to those appliances is they're factory built and tested. So that's kind of where we are. So let's talk about what we're doing. We have this HP virtual system for Microsoft, and it's not just a set of parts. The HP virtual for Microsoft contains four key components. The HP infrastructure, which is our servers and software and our storage. And those are balanced. And you'll see when we look at the system how we balance those systems so that the storage and the network and the CPU and memory capability are all balanced to provide an optimal private cloud environment. Management, as you know, is critical. We have been a Microsoft partner with Insight Control for System Center for many years, and we're extending that capability. In fact, last week, the week before at TechEd in Orlando, we showed a technology preview where we actually showed our Virtual Connect technology mapping into Microsoft System Center Virtual Machine Manager. We're continuing to do that work. We're investing heavily with Microsoft. And the goal there, as we'll cover, is to make managing an HP infrastructure from a Microsoft System Center or private cloud console as easy as it would be to using the HP tools. The infrastructure is complex. We have work to do. But that's our goal, and we're making steady progress. And we can't have a private cloud without the Microsoft infrastructure. And last but not least are our services. And I'll talk about their factory integration services and the services that we have to get you up and running in a Microsoft private cloud within a week of receiving the hardware. And I think that's a really, really key value prop. Drilling down a little bit more into the virtual system. Many of our customers say, you know what, I know how to do this. But there are really four key technologies that we combine. And HPE, I believe, is the only vendor who can sell all four of these. Our network switches that provide edge of the network connectivity, or the management nodes. And these management nodes are designed to be compatible with the Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track program. So if you're buying Private Cloud Immersion, if you're buying Microsoft Cloud Fast Track, we've designed our management nodes to be highly available to support all of the System Center products. Our compute nodes, and again, we've designed balanced compute nodes, and you'll see that we have blade servers and rack servers that will act as compute nodes with all the networking built into them. And last but not least, our storage. In a private cloud environment, storage that allows you to dynamically create virtual machines with zero cost and allows you to have several tiers of storage is critically important. And you'll see how our storage that's applied to these virtual systems matches that criteria for Microsoft. So again, it's a total solution, and these are the four key components of that solution. So here are our solutions. We have three of them. And I'll drill into more detail on all of them, but our virtual system one is a rack-based solution, so it's rack servers. And we looked at that because many customers have spoken to us and said, you know, we want to virtualize, but we don't want to go and spend money with blades. And we have a huge rack install base, so we built these systems with precise instructions and pre-built so that you can implement a virtualization solution and a Microsoft Private Cloud in a rack environment. And that uses our iSCSI storage, P4000 storage. The next one up is an HP Virtual System 2, and we also have a client virtualization system. I'm not going to cover the client virtualization system, but if you come to our booth, we have a booth that talks about the design characteristics of that versus our virtual system server. That one is blade-based, and again, Microsoft Cloud Fast Track compliant with management servers and storage nodes. And the last one we announced at Microsoft Management Summit, and it won Best of Technology Award at TechEnd in Orlando, is our Virtual System 3. Our Virtual System 3 is targeted for, you know, thousands of virtual machines with our industry-leading three-power storage. So those are a high-level view of the three components. Drilling down into a little bit more, so you just get an idea of what's inside. You see here we have our network switches, and for internal traffic and external traffic, and we have from 2 to 8 servers. So we can start you off with 2 rack servers and 2 management nodes, then scale it up to 8 servers. All of this stuff is pre-tested, pre-configured, and pre-sized, and ready to go when it gets on site. It uses our P4500 SAN solution, which is iSCSI based. And it uses our HP A-Series switches. Our VS2, which is based on blade server technology, will start with six servers and goes up to 12 servers. Again, it's using our P4800, which is unique in that it is blade-based storage, so it saves you power and cooling and fits into our blade chassis. And then it uses our Virtual Connect Flex 10 technology. And I tell you, when you start implementing this technology, this Virtual Connect Flex 10 is really critically important, and here's why. This is a physical diagram of the networking that's involved in a virtual system VS2. It's incredible. There are 30 in-rack network connections, and you need all of these to build a fast-track cloud-compliant architecture because you need high availability for your iSCSI, for your Virtual Connect uplinks, for your ILO, for your PDU and your management servers. So this is the number of servers that we build in, and we pre-configure all of these networks in-house. So I'll give you just an example. I don't know how many of you have bought a virtual or buy blade servers or rack servers from HP, but if you don't buy them configured to order, they will come in 100 boxes. And all of you here have skills in building those. But when you buy these, they come pre-configured. And again, the acid test for me is that Microsoft wanted to use these in their technology centers. And we've now installed 6 of these in Microsoft technology centers worldwide. And it took a week from these machines arriving on site to having Microsoft Private Cloud up and running. So for those of you in EMEA, we have one in Dubai, and we have them in HP Solution Centers in the UK and in Germany. And then we have mobile units as well. So if you wanted to do a remote POC or one on site, we can ship one of these to you, fully configured, and you'll be up and testing the private cloud in a week. And that is really unique, and it's really, really positive. So our last server here is a VS3. And again, it's based on our blade server, but this will actually scale up to 32 blades. So a really high-scale environment, and it goes up to 384 terabytes of our 3-power storage. Again, our 3-power storage is our high-end storage platform targeted specifically for the cloud. And for those of you who are looking at Windows 2012, and perhaps you saw the ODX demonstrations this morning, we have ODX capabilities and lots of SMB capabilities all built into this 3-power server. So we're really excited about this for the private cloud. And I'll talk a little bit about Microsoft Management Summit 2012. We had a server aquarium, and we showed in all of the hands-on lab, and I think there were like 7,000 hands-on labs that were running in this environment, and they were all running on our VS3, and a little bit I'll drill down into what that configuration looked like. But this is a true proof point for what we've been doing. And our VS3 has our new Generation 8 technology. We announced our Generation 8 technology a few months ago, and basically we've made just a huge investment, and we believe that this can reduce your management cost and increase the performance, and works well, and will work well with all of the new capabilities of 2012, of Windows 2012, with more cores and greater memory capability. So again, we think that Windows 2012 and our virtual systems and Gen 8 hardware will really match up well together and give you a tremendous platform to build on. And we talked about our virtual system Flex Fabric. We built. I showed you the network environment we had, where we had 30 networks, really physical networks, all for this virtual system to support this. With our Flex Fabric, we can actually build these networks really, really quickly with a small number of cables coming out of the back. And unlike some of our competitors, all of the traffic for that blade server, so all the live migration traffic, all the cluster heartbeat traffic, all stays inside the network. So we've done tests where we actually can do live migration 5 times faster than our competitors can, because the traffic stays in the blade server and it doesn't egress up into top of network switches. So again, we think that this technology is going to give us better performance. It also gives us up to 95% fewer NIC cards, because we can split up a 10 gigabit NIC into 4 logical segments. The benefit of those 4 logical segments is that we have less NICs, and we do quality of service not by implementing quality of service at a high level, but by saying that you can have dynamic allocation of bandwidth in any one of those NICs in real time. So, for example, you could have a production network that was running at 8 gigabits per second during the day, and a backup network that was running at 2 gigabits per second. When you start doing backup in the evening, you can dynamically reallocate that network bandwidth from the production network to the backup network. And so that's just a really good example of using that technology. And our figures show that we can have up to 66% lower total cost of ownership than the competitors with Flex Fabric. So again, it's a really strong value proposition. I talked a little bit about 3-power. One of the key tenets for 3-power is multi-tenancy. So as you go from a private cloud for one department, and you start to get more and more departments, multi-tenancy is really, really important. And multi-tenancy is built into a 3-power storage. And we have a 3-power storage unit in our booth, and we'd be more than happy to tell you how that works. We actually have lots of white papers on the web that talk about how to set up 3-power in a Microsoft environment. So again, come to our booth, and we can give you more information on that. So key thing here, we're going to drill down into a demonstration for this, but I wanted to tell you about our integration with Insight Control. Remember I said that we're trying to build a fabric? Remember I said that we're trying to make the fabric easier for you to build? So how do we do that? We do that by integrating Insight Control into the Microsoft Management Consoles. So for example, you'll see that we have an SCVMM bare metal deployment video that we'll show you. And what does that do? It allows you to do a bare metal deployment of a Proliant server. And that will understand the Proliant server. It will use the Proliant support packs and inject appropriate drivers into that SCVMM VHD. We still do it for Configuration Manager 2008, but SCVMM is the new technology for doing that. We'll show you integration with Operations Manager, and we'll drill down into the Proliant infrastructure, both the blade and the server, and we'll drill down into our storage platform and show you alerts and graphic representation. We also do SCVMM pro tips. So we can actually, we get a predictive failure on a rack or a blade server, and working with SCVMM, we can move the workload off of that rack or blade server before the failure occurs, take out the blade server, rack server, and replace it, and then have SCVMM recover from that. We do detailed HP inventory, and people use that for asset management. And we do, with Configuration Manager, we do firmware upgrades. So today we have the SCOM and the SCVM integration packs, we have the SCOM and the SCVMM working. We're working closely with Microsoft to get the ProTips and Configuration Manager with System Center 2012, and that should be available shortly. So again, a very, very strong integration, and we believe this integration is stronger than any of our competitors, and it comes as part of Insight Control, and part of it comes in the CD, and part of it can be integrated into Insight Control. So again, very strong networking capabilities. Factory Express. This is a graphical representation for those of you who have ever bought an HP system of the number of boxes you get if you buy it straight from the factory. And with Factory Express, it all comes pre-built, pre-wired. And again, the proof point for me is the Microsoft MTCs, where we've actually built these units in the MTCs, and they're up and running within a week. And so services, we talk about services. So when you buy this from us, we actually come on site, and what we do within a week is that we install the operating system, we integrate System Center into your own Active Directory domain. We would do this in the factory, but we realize that System Center and SQL Server have to be integrated into your own Active Directory. So we come on site, we install the operating system, we set up System Center, and for 2012, we'll install SCOM, SCVMM, and operations orchestration. We'll do all that the servers will go from 1 week to 2 weeks because there's more complexity in System Center 2012. But that service is available now. So if you're interested, we can come on site, set up the servers, and again, within a week, you'll be able to deploy private clouds and fabrics using System Center VMM, which I think is, I'm not sure that any of our competitors will be in a position to do that. So it's not just start services, it's also, if you're trying to evaluate a private cloud, we have these services that are available that span from a virtualization assessment to helping you deploy, for example, an Exchange private cloud in your environment. So again, these are all available today, and they're all designed to help you go from starting off with a virtual system install all the way through to having a Microsoft private cloud and up and running. And talking to CIOs and customers, the goal is to get there. And the goal is to get there as quickly as possible. And we believe strongly with the investments that we've made with Microsoft, we'll be able to help you do that. So I'm drilled in a little bit more just on the MMS 2000 server aquarium. We had our 3-power storage, and we had 8 clusters built, and we had, you know, a huge amount of storage built into this thing with Virtual Connect and Flex Fabric. And if you look at it, when the SAN connectivity we had was just 4 cables with Fibre Channel over Ethernet. So again, we had built all of the internal network into the Blade server, so all of that traffic stayed inside. And for Fibre Channel storage, we used Fibre Channel Ethernet with just 4 cables to connect our storage environment. and we set up our storage environment in these clusters. We built them to the Microsoft Cloud Fast Track specification, and there is a white paper available on our extranet that will tell you how we did that. Just another proof case. So we have virtual system, and we've sized them. What we've done, we've sized them for Exchange. We've sized them for SQL Server. So if you go into Active Answers, you'll be able to find detailed sizing information on how that workload would work on our HP virtual system. Again, your workload will be different, but if we give you the specs that we've used to measure the performance we expect on our virtual systems, and we give you the workloads that we've run on these virtual systems, it will give you a really good starting point for trying to design and build the infrastructure for private cloud. So what I'm going to do now is change gears, and I'm going to get into our demonstration. We're going to give you two demonstrations here. The first demonstration is going to be using HP Insight Control for Microsoft System Center. Now, SCPMM 2012 is pretty new, and people are using it, but what we wanted to show you how we've integrated that into our HP Insight Control. So this demonstration is going to cover these integrations for Insight Control. And you'll see the value add that we provided by providing HP drivers and PE environments that will help you do that. So before you do the deployment, what you want to do is you want to deploy these things. We have an integration kit that will install the drivers into the SCBMM library and that are used for WinPE and VHD driver injection. We'll set up a Pixie server. We'll set up the Windows Server 2008 R2 VHD. We'll create a couple of run-as accounts, one for ILO, which is the baseboard management, one for the domain admin. And then we'll create a host profile with run-as accounts and specify the VM parameters, and then we'll specify the host profile to use. So this is what we've done. We've actually ran this this integration kit before this demonstration. And this screen here shows what happens after you run the HP integration kit. And you'll see on the left-hand side that there's an HP folder. And this HP folder is going to contain the drivers supplied by HP and management integration packs for HP. So if we drill down into this folder, you'll see here that we have a Win 2000 in AR2 VHD, and you'll see we have this management pack. If we drill into this pack, you'll actually see that we have profiles, and we'll just drill down into this profile and have a look at what it looks like. You can see here that we've defined a custom tag for this the ProLiant server. So what we've got, we've created this image for the ProLiant server, which is the package, the driver package that we will need for those of you who installed a ProLiant support pack. We'll drill into that. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at the profiles that we need. The first profile we'll use will be a profile for bare metal deployment. This is the profile we're going to use to do the WinPE and the VHD driver injection. And what we do here is we look at the profile, and you'll see what we'll do is we have a hardware configuration and then the driver options. And you'll see here that we've got this for Windows, for our ProLiant, the specific device drivers that we use for ProLiant. And these, again, are part of the integration kit. And now what we're going to do is we're going to look at how we create this. You can see here we're going to do, this is the fabric window, and what we're going to do is we're going to invoke the create a physical machine from this. So we have a fabric resources here, and what we do is we're going to add a resource, we're going to add a Hyper-V host into this resource bill so that we can do bare metal deployment. So we're going to take the physical computer to do, the first thing we do is we've created this run-as account for ILO, and you can see that when we do this, it's going to be using IPMI protocols. Again, this is value add to Microsoft, where we're providing the IPMI protocols for our ILO baseboard controller to run with System Center Virtual Machine Manager, again, that will allow us to do this bare metal deployment. Again, we're specifying an IPMI profile. The next thing we'll do is we'll give it an IP address. Now, we could specify a range of addresses, but because we only have one computer on this network that we're testing, we'll just give it a fixed IP address. And this is for the ILO, since it's 192.168.100.109. And that's all we'll specify here. The next thing we'll do is that we'll say that we're going to put it into the default host group. And then our profile says that we're going to get the IP address for this server through DHCP. So again, we're going to deploy this using DHCP, and we're going to do a bare metal OS deploy on a ProLiant server. So that's the way that we set the server environment up. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to give it a computer name. Now, if you remember, we had Blade 1 and Blade 2. So what we're going to do now is we're going to add in a Blade 3 to this environment. So we add in Blade Server 3, and now we confirm the settings. So what we've done now is we've run this wizard, and it's going to add a physical host into our environment. And this is the jobs window, and we're going to refer back to this window, but you can see here what we're doing is we're creating a new host from a physical machine. And there's lots of jobs that are going to run here, and we'll refer back to this. But again, the first thing we'll do is we're waiting for this physical machine to boot from Pixie. Remember, we started off by creating a Pixie server. We're now going to boot from that Pixie server. So let's now go and we'll go to the ILO baseboard controller, and we'll watch and see what's happening. And we'll get to the ILO controller in a second. So here we are. This is the ProLiant server booting here. So again, we're booting from Pixie, and we'll watch what happens as we go through this boot process. You can see it's booting now from the DHCP server. So first thing what we're going to do actually is we're going to register this server with we're going to load these window files. And we're going to run WinPE. And then what we're going to do is we're going to register this with System Center Virtual Machine Manager. So when this machine boots up, System Center Virtual Machine Manager will be aware that this is a new machine in our environment. So now what we're doing is we're configuring the disk, which is the local disk or a SanDisk on the server. And so in our case, it would be a local disk. So here we're doing, now what we're doing, we're taking the VHD that we specified, and we're transferring that VHD over onto the local hard disk. Again, that's a specific image that we had. So we're taking a simple VHD image, and it's now almost complete transferring over onto the hard drive. And now what we'll do is the HP specific parts, which is transferring the matching drivers, which is oftentimes the complex part, making sure that you've got the right drivers for your LOMs and for your controllers. So now we're transferring these matching drivers over. And now what we're doing, we'll wait on that completing. And after we've installed the matching drivers, we're going to inject those drivers into the VHD image again, so that when it boots up, there are no issues. So now we've almost got a VHD that's ready to go. We'll enable the Hyper-V role, and then we'll clean up. And then what we'll do is we'll reboot this server to enable Hyper-V. So when this server reboots, we'll have Hyper-V enabled. So now you can see that the service is starting. We're installing the devices that we injected into the image. And then it's going to restart after we do that. Let's go back to the jobs page. You can see here now what's happening is that we're waiting for the physical server to reboot at this point. So again, this is why we're doing it in a demonstration, because it would take about 30 to 45 minutes to do this. Once it's rebooted, we're going to log into the server, and we'll make sure that we've actually got our HP Blade server. So we log in, and there we have our HP Blade server. And that's been deployed from bare metal using Microsoft System Center Virtual Machine Manager, which I'm sure that many of you haven't done this because of the newness of this technology. Let's go back and check to make sure in SCVMM that all of the jobs have been complete. And you can see that they're now complete. So we've done a good job. Now let's go back and look at the host. And you can see that we've actually added in Blade 3, and it's been registered with System Center Virtual Machine Manager. And again, you don't have to go and do anything from anywhere else. We've done this manually, but what we've also done, and these are available in our white papers, we've created orchestration runbooks to allow you to go and figure out what hosts you have and go and do a number of bare metal deployments from a runbook, and also install these into a cluster. So that's a complete overview of using the new SCVMM technologies to do a bare metal deployment specifically in a Microsoft environment, in an HP environment. So that's the first demonstration. The second demonstration I'd like to show you will be the Operations Manager demonstration. So what we're going to do here is we'll show you how you can get deep insight into the environment using Operations Manager. So again, this demonstration is designed to show the joint value proposition for you when you combine HP Insight Control and Operations Manager together. So this is the high-level overview of Operations Manager. You can see here that we have our high-level view and Windows Server state. And you can see that we have two Blade servers and two Rack servers. And you can see the health of these, and you can see that there are some issues. What we're going to do now is we're going to drill down and look at alerts. So the first part of this is to look at alerts. And you can see here that our Blade server has some storage issues. The P4000 actually has storage drive that's failed. Now let's change gears and look at it from a diagrammatic viewpoint. So this is, we're now looking at a logical topology of what our servers look like. And you can see we have ProLiant servers and we have a Blade server. So we can separate them into ProLiant Blade servers and Rack servers. And we can also have specific servers like Blade servers. We can have VMware servers and we can have Linux servers. Now let's change gear and look at the enclosure. We looked at the blades, and here's the alerts for the enclosure. Now we're looking at the graphical representation for the controller. And you can see that we've got the interconnect bays, and we've got power systems. If I drill down into the interconnect bay, you can see here that we have an Ethernet blade switch in this interconnect bay. So let's go back to just look at the servers again here. We looked at the servers and we looked at the status. This time we're going to look more at what the health is. And you can see that we have the Blade servers and they're divided into subgroups. And you can see here that what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of the Blade servers and we're going to look at the alerts again. This time we're going to use a context-sensitive window. We'll look at one of the Blade servers. And down here on the right-hand side, you'll see that we can actually deploy integrated lights out straight from Operations Manager. So again, this is a tight integration. So from Operations Manager, we've called on ILO to come up, again, from one window, from SCOM or some SCVMM, you've done everything you would want to do in a hardware ProLiant environment. So let's change back now. And last thing we're going to look at here is the storage environment. And you can see here that we've got a number of storage, 3-power, P4000. And what we're going to do is we're going to drill down into the P4000 storage. And you can see here that we've got some alerts on P4000. There are some issues. So again, we've looked at the alert environment. What we're going to do next is we're actually going to look at the diagram view. So from a P4000, you can actually see that we have a cluster here. We have two nodes in that cluster. And you can drill down into detail and find out what's happening inside that cluster and see the disk level layout and see what's happening there. So what we've done is we've shown you two different views. One is an alert view, one is a diagram view for our Blade servers, our enclosures, and our storage. And that concludes the System Center Virtual Machine Manager presentation and our virtual system. So with that, we should probably just keep on going here, Joe, because we're I think bang on schedule. So Joe?
If you want to take one or two now, or we can hold them to the end if everyone's okay with that. We'll do that just to motor through here. So let me clean up your screen here, Paul.
Could you go to the top, Joe? Very top of the screen.
And I'll just do it the old-fashioned way. Okay, so I introduced myself quickly in the beginning, so for those that came late, you'll miss my lovely bio. So I'm not going to go back through that again, but what I wanted to pick up on is, so Paul talked a lot about HP Virtual System, sort of our general direction in terms of building private clouds with Microsoft and a lot of the work that we're doing in that space. Our app system portfolio, we saw on that one slide earlier, built off of our Converged Infrastructure Foundation, takes a slightly different view of the world, where virtual system is designed to be a balanced architecture for very general purpose workloads. We looked at a specific use case based on customer feedback over the last few years around SQL Server specifically, and really the challenges of SQL Server sprawl in customers' data centers. So customers had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of SQL instances running, often hundreds and hundreds more than they thought they did, running on various different pieces of hardware and different infrastructure. And they really wanted to get control and manage that environment in a lot more streamlined and efficient fashion. So as we sort of went through the conversation with them, you know, the type of environment they were looking for, you know, this was back even 4 or 5 years ago is when we started some of the conversations, was really we were talking about private cloud then before private cloud became a much more industry-specific term. And so what we've done in the app system space is we've looked at the specific SQL database requirements from a workload perspective, and we've designed an infrastructure, a reference architecture built on those unique requirements, specifically from a storage perspective. There's a lot of I/O in a database workload. So what we've found is this fits into our broader picture. System Center is our overarching management platform. This just gives another look at an optimized view, an optimized private cloud infrastructure for your higher I/O, higher performing workloads. And on the floor, we have a number of other app system offerings, an enterprise data warehouse and some smaller fast track data warehouse. So for folks looking for more information on that, we'll be here all week, and we have a lot of stuff that we're talking about on the floor. So this is a specific implementation for database consolidation in a private cloud environment. It's an instantiation of a Microsoft private cloud. So we take the same model from the perspective of building out the infrastructure fabric compliant with the fast track program from Microsoft so that we have a foundational base to then lay System Center on top of for your private cloud deployment. Very similar time to value messaging around virtual system. So we factory build and rack the hardware. We can deliver it on site and come on site and get it up and running in a matter of a few weeks versus the typical design timeline. If you're starting from scratch, going through and iterating through hardware platform choices and what type of switches do I need and how many drives do I need and how much memory in my server, and then you got to get all that equipment and you got to do some testing and validation. That's all the engineering work that jointly between HP and Microsoft we've been doing over the last few years. And specifically for this, and we've had the SQL Server performance team at Microsoft hammering on this to make sure that it performs and delivers the workloads that we think it should, and it has. So that's a lot of the value in the work that we do as an engineering organization to take that off the plate of customers looking to deploy this. Pretty significant from an operational expense savings perspective as well. And we did a lot of modeling, as I mentioned, with customers that had hundreds and hundreds of instances of SQL running. Just from a footprint and a cooling capacity savings in their data center, they saw significant real dollar savings in year one returns. So, the value in just general consolidation messaging, beyond even looking at the benefits of a private cloud from an operational and management perspective, almost returned the ROI on the project in the first year. And the design that we've looked at, we had a goal of providing a platform that could grow really into the hundreds and thousands of instances. So we'll talk a little bit more about the architecture, but you can see on this picture here, there's a base design and then a full design, and what we do is then scale out by adding racks as more resources are required. So when we look at sort of some of the ROI, and I talked a bit about the optimization and numbers from a real estate perspective that are shown here on the bottom. This comes from some of TCO white papers that we've published. But what I want to highlight here is sort of our base numbering and what we have for a base configuration of about 100 to 200 VMs, full configuration of about 200 to 400. We're going to talk a lot more about what that means from a sizing perspective so that you get a better understanding of where those numbers come from. Because what we wanted to do was really validate this architecture under a true workload. So we've done testing where we can get 975 VMs on a full configuration. But no one's going to really do that. It's artificially small workloads. It's just for us to stress the system. So the numbers that we talk about are actual real deployment numbers based on workload profiling and modeling that we've done. So diving into the architecture a little bit from a hardware perspective, our base configuration, it's a half rack. We have four blades and two storage blocks. So we define a storage block in this context as it's a P2000 array with three additional drive shelves. And so we have two storage blocks. When we grow to a full configuration, we add two more to go to four storage blocks. We add four more blades to go to eight blades in our cluster. The design parameters and why we did the blocking is that gives us linear scalability, and it gives us an easy growth path. As we need more compute and storage resources, we can add them in granular components pretty easily in this design. We have a handful of switches at the top of rack, and those primarily are for management and storage fabric. So Paul showed the slide giving the complexity of a VS2 network diagram. And in this case, we have a very similar story. It's blades. We're leveraging Virtual Connect. The one point that Paul didn't make that really nails the story home is if we didn't have Virtual Connect in that picture, the 30 or so cables you saw would have actually been 150 cables. So I mean, it is a pretty significant reduction in port count and complexity of setting up your network. And it's, you know, from my perspective, if you're looking at virtualization and you're thinking about virtualization of any major size and you're thinking in the blade space, Virtual Connect is almost an imperative technology. It allows you to carve up networks. You know, for a typical Hyper-V cluster, you're going to need a CSV network, a live migration network, production network, management network, maybe a backup network. And in our case where we're leveraging iSCSI, we need a storage fabric. And a lot of those need to be redundant and teamed. So at the end of the day, you've got 10 or 12 networks on each blade that have varying degrees of bandwidth requirements. Management network doesn't need 10 gig. Storage fabric might. So you have to have the capability to allocate bandwidth appropriately, or you're going to have to buy an over-provision on the network side. And 10 gig ports and 10 gig switches are not cheap, so you don't want to go that route. You also don't want to under-provision and have 1 gig fabric for your storage. So to get that balance is tricky without Virtual Connect. It's a really pretty key technology. So I suggest if you are not familiar with that, you're looking at virtualization as an underlying technology, then that's something to go look into more. So one of the things that we did for this DBC, our reference architecture design that we're talking about, so we worked really closely with Microsoft to figure out the whole stack. So this dates back over a year ago when we came out with this product. And so this is going to kind of show past, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about future in terms of the software stack. But I wanted to highlight this because this kind of gives you the idea of just at a software layer, what the complexity of the stack looks like. So, fundamentally, you're running on Windows 2008 R2. In this case, we're leveraging Data Center Edition, so we have unlimited virtualization rights. And then, as you move up into the System Center stack, pre-System Center 2012, the System Center components were not so tightly integrated. They weren't packaged together. They were very loosely coupled. They all worked together, but they were purchased separately and deployed separately, and they weren't. The story around System Center 2012 is a lot better and richer from an integration standpoint. So what we did is actually went out with Microsoft and developed a specific SKU called the Database Consolidation Appliance SKU that wrapped all of the necessary System Center components and SQL Server licenses for running the management stack for this private cloud. So that was one of the things that we worked with Microsoft uniquely on to get that simplification in so that customers could order a reference architecture platform with the right software and get a much simpler deployment experience. That, like I said, as we transition to System Center 2012, sort of solves itself a little bit. You'll hear a lot about that, System Center 2012 at this conference if you're not familiar with it. On top of that, so then we have the SQL elements. So one of the key reasons why we landed on a virtualization design for database consolidation is the flexibility to run any different type of SQL workloads, SQL versions operating system versions that we wanted within a VM environment. So if, for those that are familiar on the SQL side, there's a couple different ways that you can approach a consolidation initiative. You can look at instance stacking, you know, or virtualization as the two primary things that customers look at. So instance stacking certainly has some benefits, but we think the way the direction of the industry is going, the capabilities from a virtualization perspective for isolating workloads, for enabling chargeback on those workloads at a container level, for enabling the flexibility of moving those workloads around, that consolidation on a virtualization strategy is the right means. And this allowed us, you know, on day one of SQL Server 2012, which was a ship criteria that it ran on Hyper-V, to be able to support that. So it gives a lot of better protection from a future-proof standpoint. Okay, so, you know, like I said, we had a specific SKU based on a number of system center technologies prior to 2012. So with the release of 2012, we're looking to rev that around and obviously take advantage of the new system center capabilities. Just quick show of hands, how many have some background in System Center 2012 today? Okay, so a few of you. So, you know, this will be the slide that we'll talk about it here. There's countless sessions that dive into System Center 2012 capabilities throughout the rest of the week. I highly suggest, you know, as you're looking at building out a Microsoft private cloud, this is obviously a very key enabler of that. Paul showed some good demos of our integration points. And just kind of to touch on a few comments around specifically the VMM portion. So Virtual Machine Manager has always been a great tool for managing, monitoring your virtual machine environment. Fundamentally, it's shifting now from managing virtual machines to managing that infrastructure. And Paul showed you the provisioning, the bare metal provisioning capability. That story can expand even further into actual storage allocation, storage provisioning. So you can create a workbook in Orchestrator, which is the new name for Opalis. You can create a workbook in Orchestrator that will go out, carve your storage, present that to your host, provision your OS, and provision your cluster. So all of those steps that are, you know, pretty inherently complex, that require some technology awareness at a storage level, at a host level, at a clustering level, can all be packaged up in a runbook fairly easily. And that's, I think, a really powerful story from a virtual machine standpoint, or from a VMM standpoint, sorry. Self-service. So we know self-service is a critical pillar of defining a private cloud. Microsoft has drastically improved that and enhanced that story, in my opinion, with this release. There's a couple different elements of self-service now. So there's a new role, the app controller role, that gives you the capability to have a portal view for your internal IT infrastructure, as well as external subscriptions in Azure. And I have a screenshot that kind of shows that and models that a bit. And then building on that is Service Manager. And Service Manager is really what ties it all together. So Service Manager is where you'd go in as an line of business or IT provisioning manager, and you'd request your service. That would kick off a workflow that could go out, send an email notification, tie into your ticketing system, talk down to VMM to actually provision the service that you're requesting, tie into a chargeback mechanism, and then complete the flow. So all of this being able to be automated. And it has a number of hooks in to do downstream post-provisioning monitoring and tie into alerting mechanisms and help desk capabilities and allow you to automate a lot of the idle tasks that you're tasked with on a day-to-day basis. And that's sort of where you start picking up a lot of savings from an operational standpoint, is by automating and sequencing a lot of those tasks. And that's driven from Service Manager. Orchestrator now takes a more prominent role as a workflow engine that all of the other different system center components rely on. So that's sort of your glue between all of the different major system center components. Prior to this release, Opalis was sort of a standalone workflow engine. It was a little bit complex to do much with. that's been significantly enhanced. And now, like I said, Service Manager and VMM and SCOM all leverage Orchestrator to drive workflows across the various software elements. So I talked in the beginning a bit about how we approach modeling the appliance and understanding the workloads that run on this platform. So we went out and we did some analysis of existing customers, looking at how their SQL Server environments were performing. We thought we could bucketize and group the workloads pretty appropriately for the majority of cases. So, and that ended up being the case. So we have a criteria that we've defined as small, medium, large, as we can see here. And that's how we modeled our performance. So we said, well, you can see here there's a bullet. You know, we have 128 small workloads, 48 medium, and 16 large as a percentage. So certainly the number of database instances can change as that percentage changes. Like I said, full rack, if we use all smalls, we were up close to 1,000 VMs. Not probably going to be the most realistic workload. So we think 200 is a good place to think about. What we found as we did some more analysis of the data is that there's actually an extra small and an extra large category that we were starting to bucketize workloads in. And then as we moved to Windows Server 2012 and the capabilities of Hyper-V as a virtualization platform grow and enhance beyond four cores, which is one of the limits today. And so this will change, and we'll start bringing in even higher performing workloads into this design. So, you know, we're modeling and shifting and changing as technologies change and as we get more data, but this is our baseline. So just talking about performance, and I threw this slide in real time because Paul had the MMS slides, and on the MMS slides there was VS3 and there was a DBC platform, and at MMS they used that to drive a lot of the SQL and System Center demos. Well, here at one of the pre-conference events on Monday, we used the rack to host some of the labs that they were running. And so I had to come in early, and this is not quite as nice as the server aquarium, but we actually built our HP booth around a running appliance servicing all the System Center labs. So yeah, not the cooling and data center layout that's optimal, but we got the job done. So the map tool, are people familiar with the map tool? Okay, so the map tool is a really pretty useful tool. It's a free tool from Microsoft that allows you to go out and do assessments of your existing workloads. So it'll go out and find all of your Windows, Exchange, and SQL workloads. And what we've done is we've worked with the map team to actually have an understanding of the fundamental design of the architecture for this platform. So it will provide recommendations based off of the analysis it does of the workloads that are running, how those will fit and run on the appliance itself. So this is actually pretty useful for getting an initial assessment of how many instances you have running in your environment, which is eye-opening for a lot of people, and then how to actually go about planning your consolidation, laying that out in a meaningful, useful fashion. And we use the small, medium, large concept that we modeled around and drove that into this tool, and we'll see a demo on that in a minute. This is just highlighting the scenarios I just talked about. So there's using the map tool. There's effectively two key scenarios that customers are using this platform for. Migration of existing workloads, going out using the map tool, understanding what we have, and then migrating those using P2V or another operation to drop them in the appliance. And then with the additional space in the rack, using that to grow and provision new instances using the self-service portal and publishing service templates. And we'll see both of those here in a minute. So I want to get to the map toolkit demo here. So this is going to show just a quick view. I don't know why I can't exit out of that. This will show a quick view of the map tool, and it's got some pop-ups. So I'm going to let it run, and then I'll talk to sort of a rehash of what it did afterwards. All right, so this is a good place to talk to. So what we've done is we've inputted a database that had all of our assessment information. We went out, we had done our assessment, we grabbed performance data on that, and now we're seeing the results of that. So you can see here in the top table, we're seeing a summary of all the workloads that were found, and then the second table shows a placement summary of how we would put those workloads on a host in this architecture. And then as we scroll down, a categorization of all the workloads. So we can see over in the far bottom left or right from your view, we can see a virtual machine column and basically small, medium, large classifications. So that's based on that data that I talked about, and it's customizable, so you'll see there's an option that you can actually change the classification system if you think there's a workload that was misrepresented or has a larger or smaller performance requirement. So then one of the nice things it does here is it'll actually generate that out into a spreadsheet format. So this is effectively showing the same set of information, but giving it in a spreadsheet format so you could actually print it out and start going through a planning exercise based on the data and the consolidation recommendations. Say, okay, we're going to take these 20 first, move these into the environment, and so on. So it's a pretty powerful tool. Again, it's free, so I certainly suggest if you're doing any sort of consolidation assessment, it's certainly a nice tool to have in your pocket to go out and get an initial evaluation of the requirements you might need. Let's hop back here. So what I wanted to just finish up on is kind of talking a bit more about the service template concept and just showing you some screens of what we're doing from a service template perspective. So VMM, again, has moved away from has moved more towards a broader view of the infrastructure and a broader view of services. So it's not just the provisioning of an OS onto a virtual machine. It's actually provisioning of a service. So we can define services and have profiles defined specific to SQL is one of the workloads. You can also leverage Orchestrator to do other application provisioning, but SQL's natively baked in to VMM as a capability for provisioning a SQL instance. So here we have, on your left, a pretty simple service template, provisioning a SQL Server instance and a single network card. We could go out and have a very complex multi-tier deployment that went and provisioned the middle tier, .NET, ASP server, the back-end database, and some front-end servers all in one service template. And this then gets bubbled up into portal engines like App Controller or Service Manager. So here's a view into App Controller. And what I had talked about earlier is the capability in App Controller to manage multiple clouds. So this, it kind of ties the whole hybrid IT story together. It's a cloud for our private cloud infrastructure in our data center and services in Azure and the capability to then view both of those, provision services from both of those. And just recently announced with the SP1 release of System Center 2012, the capability to actually move virtual machines between them. So that is going to be a really powerful engine for customers that need flexibility of moving workloads around between different resource pools that have different cost footprints and different service levels. When you go in and you go to deploy a service template, it's a very easy, usable graphical interface. Obviously, all of it is scriptable in PowerShell as well. But graphically, using the GUI, you go in, you pick your cloud, you pick your template, you define the host name that you want to call on the systems in the template, and you go ahead and provision. And then you'll see all your services in App Controller centralized view. Here we have a couple services running 2008, our two database instances, and SQL Server 2012. So again, you know, pretty powerful from a management and monitoring perspective, what they've now baked in and enabled from a private cloud perspective. So just to wrap up, one of the challenges that we have when we're thinking about and talking about private cloud is how does it all fit together? We have, in talking with a lot of customers, there's obvious strategies that people have formed around cloud enablement and what their IT infrastructure is going to do from a cloud perspective in 1, 3, and 5 year increments. I think the point that this slide is going to make here is, you know, today we have a sort of your traditional data center. We have solutions like DBC and Virtual System that allow you to get up a Microsoft private cloud in a very rapid fashion. So rather than 9 to 12 month delivery, we're talking, you know, 4 to 6 weeks from purchase to on-site provisioning. So this allows you to form that hybrid cloud model in a really quick time frame, so that you sort of parallelize your activities, and then over the long term, you start bringing that into your broader cloud strategy, whether that's managed from a DBC or virtual system, whether that includes other components as more resources are required. It gives you the flexibility to make those decisions while still leveraging private cloud benefits in the near term. And I think that's the key element that these configurations are reference architectures that are validated and tested bring to the table. So just to sum up quickly here, I think, you know, I said a lot of this in the previous slide, but basically that we're driving a lot of solutions in the private cloud space today. We're working extremely close with Microsoft to integrate and provide differentiating capabilities for these solutions to streamline the solutions, deliver a validated architecture, minimizing risk, minimizing time to deployment for our customers, whether it be through our virtual system portfolio or our app system optimized cloud reference architectures. We're delivering workloads across the whole spectrum or solutions across the whole spectrum to solve all the customer needs. So with that, we have a couple minutes. There's some slides and references to other sessions that are going on. We have a booth at the show floor that myself and Paul and others will be at all week. As you guys have more questions, feel free to come down. We can talk about anything and lots more than what we talked about today. So I think with that, if there's any questions, we have a couple minutes, and we will stay around after if we go longer than that. And thank you for coming today.